Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I put on the board a sincere heart. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit this morning. I feel like the Lord popped that into my thinking earlier in the week. Sincere means not pretending or fooling. Honest and truthful. Not pretending or fooling. When Jesus came to this earth, seemed like one of the main things that he faced when he came was the hypocrisy of the system that he came into. A lot of pretending and fooling. I want to say this. I think it's very, very important that we have a sincere heart. And I want us to understand that a sincere heart doesn't mean that you're right. You have to understand that, because the Holy Ghost is to lead and guide us into all truth. And he can't do that without a sincere heart. But it also says that you're not right. You need led. We need to be led into all truth. And the avenue to be able to do it is to have an open, honest heart without pretending, fooling, with all the things that can get in the way and hinder the Holy Ghost from being able to lead us. Because the fact of it is that there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be culture, there's going to be the wants and the desires that we have, that if we're not sincere, is going to block the ability for the Holy Ghost to lead us into all truth. So we really need to be sincere about all of these things. We need to be sincere about ourselves. We need to be sincere about the world we live in. We need to be sincere and honest about these things. So I'd like to think about it today and the importance of having a sincere heart. I'd like to look at a scripture. Be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure where I'm looking for it. So I'm going to quote it, though. It's a familiar one. In Matthew, it's talking about Jesus tells us the story of the parable of the sower. And in that parable, Jesus tells about the seed being sowed. The sower goes forth to sow seeds. And he sows the seeds, and they fall on a number of different grounds. And something about ground is the ground doesn't have the ground has no potential to change itself. The seeds fell on the grounds, and the grounds is what it was. But the ground, all of these grounds represented a person's heart. It wasn't trying to get us information about sowing seeds or really information about the ground. Those were the understood things that he was using for the illustration. People already knew that if we go out here and plant some seeds out here in the middle of the highway, you can go out there and cast some seeds along the highway, there's almost no hope of them sprouting and growing and ever coming to fruit. And all of these different situations, you can do the same things. I was busy this last few days planting my garden, so I was out there with the tiller. I was fluffing the ground. I was putting the roads. I had fertilized. I'd done all the things necessary, prepped the ground and do all this with the expectation that I'm going to be able to pull a corn off of the stalk. I'm going to be able to pick some beans. The whole idea was that the future is going to bring something to me, and all the application, everything that I'd done was the preparation for this to happen. I didn't plant in the middle of Wesley Chapel Road, and I didn't pick the patch out, the thorn patch out by the river out there to plant my seeds and all that is. I carefully put it into a carefully prepared ground to do it so that I could get fruit. And the illustration that Jesus is saying is that the seer, the sower, went forth sowing. God sows seeds to all men. All men everywhere. The problem of it is some of their hearts is like a highway. Some of their hearts are like thorn patches. Some of the hearts are like stony, rocky places that some of them will get a little bit of something. Some of the seeds, some of it was sown in the birds of the air come and took it. Some of it was in bad places. All of these things. But the end of it was, is when he interpreted this, he said the difference was like these different places in people's hearts. But he come down to the last one, the one that bore fruit. And he said, in a good and honest heart. This was where it actually was able to bring forth fruit, was in a good and honest heart. Folks, we need to cultivate our hearts. We need to think about the sincerity. Work on having a sincere heart. Have an open and an honestness before God to say, this is what I'm in. You know, if we can't really ever see ourselves, we need the Lord to give us some eyes to really be able to see ourselves for what we really are, so that we can really get help before the Lord. To be able to be sincere, an heart does not mean you're right. Illustration I want to use is the story of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was sincere, and he terribly was sincerely wrong. But he testified that he thought he was doing the will of God. He wanted to do the will of God, and he thought persecuting these people that was hurting God's cause, he thought that was the right thing. How do we go from being so wrong to being so right? How can we go from a place that I've got it all completely wrong? How can I go from that place to being in a place of right state unless the Lord helps me? Paul was chosen of the Lord. You know, the Lord chose Paul particularly to be the minister to the Gentiles, and he done it for a reason. He didn't choose Paul because he was wrong. He didn't choose him because he was right. He chose him because he was sincere. God knew, I can get this guy, I can get the truth to him. He's willing to accept the truth, even though it's going to show him up for being wrong. It's going to show him up for being bad. But it's better for us to be sincere, and if we have to, drop our heads and apologize. It's better to be humble. It's better to meet God in peace one of these days than to hold on to self-perceptions here. Now, Lord, help us to have a sincere heart. A heart that can grow something in it. This ground that the seed went on, I want to tell you something about this ground that it went on. It was a good and honest heart, but it didn't pop out no fruit instantly. He simply sowed seed in it. And the seed had to sprout, it had to grow, it had to be protected. All these things had to happen in there too to get to this place. There's a lot of examples in the scriptures about the hypocrisy, the places that people had, and Jesus come down hard on that. The reason why it was such a detriment, there was no breakthrough. There was nothing that the Lord could say or do to change the effects of these people. There was nothing they could do. The Pharisees came in with their religion. It should have been the most obvious people that should have seen Jesus for what he was the people that had the knowledge. That's what the whole scripture idea was, is to teach people, and here is the coming of the Lord. It all fell in line, and the smartest, the most notable lawyers and scribes and Pharisees and all these people should have had a recognition that there's something special here about this guy. It's the fulfilling of the scriptures. They ought to sense something about it, and they was totally insincere. If they would have been sincere, they would have questioned the things that they believed and what it was. The 103rd Psalm teaches that to forgive their iniquities and heal their diseases. the forgiving of iniquities that had to come first and the healing of the diseases. They actually believed that. In the time Jesus come, they actually believed that. And when Jesus said to the man, thy sins be forgiven you, they said, can a man forgive sins? And he said, in order to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. Now I'll show you something. They should have all set back by their own belief if they were sincere about what they believed. You don't have to be right. You should be sincere. This is what we believe, and now he just crushed this whole thing because he said, your sins be forgiven. You can't forgive sins. Who are you? Take up your bed and walk. Now, how did he do that? How did he do that? Take up your bed and walk. And you know what? If he gets up and walks, his sins had to be forgiven by your belief. But they wouldn't believe it because they wasn't sincere. If it cuts against us, we need to have a, if God's going to lead us and guide us, we need to be sincere in our lives. Apostle Paul was very sincere. And the Lord sent the deal. He could have fought that too. But Jesus says to him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I've thought about it many times. Saw that light from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm going to have some real thoughts and things about you now. Why are you kicking against the pricks? I wonder what Paul knew that isn't said. I wonder if Paul didn't persecute them men and get that deep down guilt feeling that he couldn't hardly, he had to brush off and convince himself, I'm doing right. Now, I'm doing right. I'm going to go and get with my buddies so we can talk about this because they're going to encourage me that, yes, you should get them women and children, them old Christians, and you should do that because something inside of me is really starting to tear at me in here. I know I'm speculating here, but that's what the sincere heart, why are you kicking against the pricks, Paul? You know I've been talking with you. You know I'm dealing with you. You need to be sincere about this. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, help us. There's a number of scriptures I want to talk about. There was a man in Acts. Let's see, Acts, about the 8th chapter, I think. Says, let's pick it up. 27th verse. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charged all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now here was a guy going along. He obviously had great interest. I don't know where he run into it at. Or why he was Ethiopian, somewhere along the lines, he has this understanding. He's reading this. And he wants to know. Philip preaches to, he didn't have understanding. He don't have to. It's God that leads us. God sent Philip. It's God that will take care of the honest heart. It's God that will take care of the sincere places that we don't have to go around judging everybody. It ain't up to us to make everybody come in line to standards and all those kind of things. We need to promote having a sincere heart before God. God will lead the sincere person. God will help the sincere person. God's going to let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. God's going to bring it to you. There's places and times that the best we can do is hurt somebody. There's places and times the best we can do is bring a wound to somebody's spirit. The best we can do, Philip didn't run up to that chair just to say to you, "Well, you Ethiopian, what are you doing out here?" Like, no, he came up to tell him, "This is what it is." You know, this man was sincere. This was a sincere man. He wanted to know, what am I reading here? He didn't say, as some did later, when I have a convenient season. Come on now, your convenient season. You're making an excuse. That's a pretense. That's fooling. That's not sincere. Yeah, I get to, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Come on. Come on. No pretending here. The sincerity. He was so sincere about this. I know he was sincere. Because he immediately says, here's water. This is the process. You know, you want to chum people. You want to chum them. You want to pull them. You want to prop them. You want to get them. Well, no problem with this. This is God saying, well, this is wonderful. Am I involved in it? I'm Ethiopian. I'm not Jewish. No, this is open to everybody. You're open. Well, here's water. Let me have it. Let me get it too. If you're sincere, you don't have to be right. You have to be sincere. There was a woman one time that came to the well. And Jesus said, it's needful that I go by Samaria. Remember? And he comes by and there was a woman at the well. Jesus comes to this woman at the well. And I want to tell you something. She wasn't right. She had a lot of problems. She hadn't been a noble and an honorable person in her life. None of these things. But Jesus diverted the whole trip because there was a sincere. She didn't know. Everybody knows. You know, a lot of life is about, when you don't know, is about trying to find some happiness or some satisfaction. Or, yeah, she's married 5 times and the one she's got's not her husband. And all. What do you think's wrong with her down in here? Just a broken woman that's trying to find something to satisfy life, maybe. That's what people do in life. All the hideous things that are happening in life now is I wonder if people will ever regret these body tattoos and all these things that they do. Look so hideous to me, but I know why they do it. They're trying to fit into a world. They're trying to be something that's not there. Something that has been broken and ruined in their life. You know, really, God seeks that sincere heart. Yes. When God sees the sincere heart, he's going to go move towards that sincere heart. And he went by Samaria because there was a woman. Yeah, as rough a character as she had been and all these things. He found a sincerity there and he went to meet it. I think God will meet our sincerity the same way. When I really want to know, Lord, I don't know, but I want to know. God will find a way to reveal that to you. And you know, it isn't always in some kind of a book learning idea to where I can explain it to everybody else. It's that my spirit is rested because I know. God has taught me that, and I know it's right. Whether anybody else ever claims it's right, I know it's right because God gave me something there. I don't know how to articulate it or say it, but I know it's right. God will teach all the honest souls that way. So he taught her. You want water? I can give you water to where you'll never thirst again. Lord, give me this water that I'll never thirst again. Give me that. Altered her life right there. There's another story in the scriptures of a man named Nathanael. You remember Nathanael? Nathanael was skeptic. It's all right to be a skeptic. There was nothing wrong with being a skeptic. He didn't know and he didn't want to make a mistake. So he was a skeptic. And they said, come and see yourself, Nathanael. Come and see. And the story kind of in my mind is here comes Nathanael and Jesus is there. And Jesus looks and says to the rest of them, while Nathanael gets close enough to hear, here's an Israelite. Indeed. Here is a one that's no guile. Here is the man. And Nathanael was like, he never met Jesus before, never saw him before. And he says, how do you know me? To say such a thing like, how do you know me? And Jesus says, when you was under the fig tree. Jesus testified of this man. There was no guile found in him. He wasn't pretending anything. He wasn't fooling. He was true to what he believed. Was he right about everything? No, he wasn't right about everything. Jesus wasn't searching for the right heart. He was searching for the sincere one. And here comes Nathanael, and immediately he says to Nathanael, I was with you under the fig tree. Oh, you remember under the fig tree, Nathanael was the only one that could have made sense to, but it sure made sense. I don't know what happened under the fig tree, but I'm going to tell you, old Nathanael knew what was under the fig tree. He got something under the fig tree, probably the place he went to pray and to commune with God, and he realized now there was something there. God can use a sincere heart. Lord, help us to put away all pretense, malice, put all those things away. In our world today, if anything is short in the world today, in our political world, in the news world, and into that, is sincerity. It's sincerity, and it brings a real block with what God can do with people. There was another couple, some people in the scriptures. There was some Hebrew children. It's a famous story. All the children even know it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't pretend anything. They served the living God. No pretense. So you remember the story about how they was called to be in the palace, and they were supposed to be fed up and look good, so for their presenting day, that they were supposed to be nice, plump, and complexion and everything for the palace, and they refused to eat the king's meat. Didn't make political arguments about it. Didn't try to divert it, to change it, to lie about it, to cheat, to say you did something you didn't. They didn't do anything. They said, we ain't eating that. It ain't kosher for us. We ain't eating it. God condemned it. We're not eating it. They didn't try to go around about it. I'm going to tell you, God will work with the sincere heart, folks. You don't have to lie to get out of trouble. I mean, I know that it might look bad if you tell the truth. Sometimes things happen, and sometimes it seems like, I'm going to tell you, God will work in the sincere life. I'm not going to pretend about it. This is what it is. This is what it totally is. And you remember, they ate what God had given, and they outshine everybody else. And you know why? Not because the food was, I know we could get into what the food had into it, and it's a big thing in these days about those kind of things, but that wasn't what that scripture was trying to say. God blessed them. And he can either do it through plant life, or he can do it through his spirit. But they glowed. These brethren glowed when they went there. There was something special about them. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was on them. And then, you know, later they said, you know, Nebuchadnezzar makes his image, and he says, you know, everybody's going to bow to the image when the music starts, going to bow to the image. And they didn't bow. And the king was upset. Of course, he didn't look at it as a way of faith. He looked at it as disobedience. and you can't put up with that in your kingdom, and so I'm going to give you another chance to do it. And the music plays again, and they're there, and the scripture says that he says, O king, we're not careful, in no pretense. We're not going to sit and tell you, try to make an excuse, or we're just these poor little, or that we didn't hear that music just right, or we didn't understand your thing right, or try to get a lawyer, or all that kind of stuff. We're not careful in answering you in this matter. We're going to do it straight up right before you. We're going to stand right here with our shoulders squared back and just tell you, we serve God, and we're not bound to an image. Not here, not now, not later. You can play that music over and over. It isn't disrespect to you, King. We ain't bowing. We serve God. No pretense. Sincere. They were sincere before the Lord. And the Lord took their part because they were sincere. God has always worked with sincere people. I think that he always will work with sincere people. There was a centurion in the scripture that asked of something of the Lord. That he had it was a servant. My servant is fallen ill. Jesus says, okay, let's go. I'll come to your home. And the centurion says, no, Lord. I'm not worthy. Wow. what an admission. I'm not worthy. But I'm not worthy, but he says, but you don't have to. Because I'm a man under authority. And I have men under me. I understand the command, the line of command. I understand authority when I see it because, you know, it comes all the way from Caesar. Caesar says something, the general says something. I'm a centurion over 100. I get an order. I give the order down. It's all carried out from the authority from the top. I recognize your authority. Speak the words only. You don't have to go. You know, Jesus found something there. He found a sincere heart. He found somebody that was sincere enough to say, I'm not worthy of that. I don't need that. And he said of this man, I have not found faith like this in all of Israel. I've not found, the ones that's supposed to have faith, the ones that's supposed to have it don't have it, but I sure found it there. In the third chapter of John, there's a story of a man. It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite story. I just like the story. I understand him. There was a man named Nicodemus. Oh, Nicodemus. I think he was a character in a sort. I understand the struggle that he had, the pull between, he was pulled between worlds. You ever been there? He was pulled between the world that he grew up in, the world that he was a big dog in, the understanding that he had, but he was sincere. Sincere troubled him. It troubled him. He couldn't be like everybody else was. He couldn't call Jesus Beelzebub, not Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a too sincere of a heart to say this man was wrong. He was sincere, and yet the pull was is that I can't go in the daytime because if I go in the daytime, my peers are going to see me go in the daytime, and I can't give up this position, and I'm pulled between it, but I've got to go, and something in his heart was pulling at him, and he wanted to go talk to the Lord about it, so he went to Jesus in the night. So nobody would see him. He goes to him in the night. Well, you may say, well, that's a little insecure. It's not, maybe not as sincere as you'd want. No, this man was sincere. He had to go some way, somehow. And he went to him in the middle of the night to talk to the Lord. And he says to the Lord, no man can do these miracles unless God be with him. That's sincerity. Everybody else was, they knew that. But they would not face up to it. They would not admit it. They would not be sincere about it. Nicodemus was sincere. He wanted to know. He got I think it's amazing because Jesus, I believe, was looking right in Nicodemus' eyes when he said, for God. This is the number one scripture that everybody recognizes from a child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He spoke those words right to Nicodemus. I wonder what kind of effect that might have had. I'm telling you, Jesus was not oblivious to Nicodemus' life. He was well suited in a place and time for a sincere heart to get to him. And he always is. Sometimes it takes pressure. Sometimes we've got to push. Sometimes we've got to do that. But God wants to find a sincere heart. It's what we, the only thing that we can really do is come to the Lord. It's the Lord that does everything else. I don't know what the truth is unless the Lord shows me. I don't know how to interpret Scripture. I mean, I can hear it preach and all that. You all know this. This doesn't make sense to the people that don't live it. The world will never understand it, but we understand it. I can hear the preacher preach the words. I can have some intelligence about the whole thing. I don't really get it until the Lord gives it to me. I don't really get it until I'm touched with it. I can understand it without articulating it once the Lord says it. I say, I know that's true. I know it's true in my heart. I know it's right. You and I don't know anything unless the Lord brings it to us and reveals it to us and gives it to us. He said to Peter that said, thou art the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You got this by revelation. This whole thing come from revelation, Peter. You got this because it was revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Peter wasn't always right. Peter had a way about him. Especially before Pentecost, he had a way about him, sticking his foot in his mouth, stepping out on things, doing that. You could hardly say he had a record of totally being right about stuff. He was always kind of doing stuff. What made him the man he was? He was sincere. When he told the Lord, you know, remember him telling the Lord, you won't wash my feet. Peter, you're so wrong. But boy, are you sincere. He loved the Lord and he was going to put him up. That was what he was doing. Why, you're so far above me, I could never allow that to happen. He was just as sincere as he can be. The Lord said, you'll deny me. These other guys will deny you. But I ain't no way I'm going to deny you. Peter, you're so wrong. You're so sincerely wrong. But sincerity got him over the top. Sincerity was what God did. He was honest in his heart. Lord, I'll take whatever. As soon as you notice how Peter's changed, you'll not wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you've no part with me. Well, wash me all over. Peter, you're so wrong again. But boy, are you sincere. Going to have to get Peter to the right place. Wrong about one thing, wrong about another. Was it Peter that looked at the ascension and said, let's build 3 tabernacles? He done it out of devotion and honor and wanted to do what God wanted. Peter, you're so wrong. But you sure are sincere. No, Peter, we're not going to build. This is my son. Hear ye him. When it's all weeded out, the sincere heart wins. When it all said and done, God can get the truth to a sincere heart. He always has. He always would be able to touch somebody that's sincere if they do it right. It is the Ananias and Sapphira's that never make it. It's the Achans and the Judases. It's the one that are less sincere and in pretense. They do something in pretense. Ananias and Sapphira in pretense brought their money. Wasn't it their money? Wasn't it still a blessing to have what they did give? Wasn't that all that? They wasn't sincere. God didn't honor it. God can make gold pillar appear out of anywhere. God ain't that's what he wants. He wants the sincerity of our hearts. He wants us to be sincere in living for him. What we say in word and in deed, being sincere about it. If you're not somewhere, don't pretend like you are. I know that's a hard thing because we all want to be looked at as a certain thing. But the best thing you can do is humble yourself and say, I ain't there. I just ain't there. Lord, help me to get there if I'm supposed to be there. But the pretending I'm there when I'm not doesn't get you anywhere because it blocks God's abilities. You sincerely say, Lord, I'm not there, but I want to be. And when you sincerely confess your faults and say, listen, I'm not there, but I want to be, God can get you there. But it's got to be through a sincere heart. I think there was a lot of other places in the Bible that we could talk about. I guess mainly all of them. Every time somebody wasn't sincere, they got in trouble over it. Even Abraham got in trouble over his deal with Sarah. I mean, over and over, Saul, who was a humble man when he started, become terribly insincere about what he was doing. And when he did, God wasn't with him. And those that were sincere, even though they made terrible mistakes, David was a man after God's own heart, but he fell into lethargy. He fell into a place to where he wasn't able to perform, and he had a great failure in his life. And you know what rescued him? His sincerity of heart. He sincerely wanted to do that till he, not like Saul, but he sincerely, when he got caught in the whole thing, he sincerely repented before the Lord, and the Lord was able to bring him to a better place. I say King David, after that, was a better king than before, because God had restored him back, and he wasn't going to be in that place anymore. So there's sometimes, even in our failures, you don't have to be right. I want to state that again. Don't confuse sincerity with being right, because you can be sincere and be wrong. But sincerity is the avenue God is going to be able to bring the truth to us, the power to us, and all those kind of things. Because the first thing, if we're not sincere, we're not going to see ourselves for who we are, and then we're not going to be able to even pursue the truth. But God can, in sincerity, when we're sincere, God will be able to bring that to us. So it's like the sower that sowed, and he sowed on all these ground, but there's only one ground that brought forth fruit, and that was the ground that was, it was a good and honest heart. It was a place that had been made right for it, and it was able. God was able to go on through. Didn't mean that there wasn't going to be some challenges in there. I'm sure that the farmer has to do all the other stuff involved in where he plants the seed. Yet you got to weed it, got to hoe it, got to fertilize it. Someday you're going to have to harvest it. All that work needs to be done, but that's where the fruit's going to come, in the good and honest heart. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.